This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the War Room, and thank you for tuning in here on BPN Radio and Seismic Radio. And depending when you tune in, it's either going to be late at night, or maybe if you listen from Europe, it's at a horrendously early time in the morning. But nevertheless, thank you very much for tuning in. Today, we have got an interesting subject, and it's something which we need to tackle. We need to find out what is really going on here. What is going on? And I have to say, I'm a little bit of a sucker for a good story. And I go for it, you know. So it's a good story. I listen to it. And I'm pretty much, should I say, I pride myself. I wouldn't pride myself as much, but I'm open for anything. I listen to anything anybody has to say. And my thinking is, even if it's false, if it's wrong, it's good to listen and to see where the error is and to find out. Now, when I go on the subject tonight, I just want to make a few statements. And the first statement is that truth is truth. There's nothing like, you know, he is right and she is right and him over there is right as well. Now, truth is truth. And I always use this saying, which is used here in Yorkshire and England, which is the proof is in the pudding. Yeah. So what is and what will come will come. Yeah. So truth is truth. You cannot change it. You cannot. And reality is reality. You cannot, you know, unreality it. You cannot untruth it. It's not possible. The problem sometimes is that sometimes we've got a warped perception of the truth. That's one issue. And the other one is that we don't fully understand it, or that we only understand one tiny aspect of it. And I want you to bear this in mind as we go through the subject tonight. And also, what is very, very important, and I just want to make this point, and we as Christians, we have only got one reliable foundation which we can place our faith on, and it's very difficult to say this. Now, number one is Jesus Christ, yeah? But then again, there are a lot of different types of Jesus Christ. When you listen to the Catholics, you get one. When you listen to the Mormons, you get another one. If you listen to the Jehovah's Witnesses, you get number three. Then you listen within evangelical Christianity, you get like various versions. There's the bloodless gospel, you know, where you just say, I want to do the best with my gifts I can for God and get rich and all that. That's one version of the gospel, which is false. And obviously, there's a real Jesus Christ. There is Jesus who he is. Yeah. And Jesus Christ says of himself in John chapter 14 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And there's like a very strong claim, which only somebody who actually is the truth and represents the truth, or somebody who is totally insane, can make. And in this instance, I would say Jesus is not insane. He is the Son of God. He is God, you know, member of the Trinity, and he is the truth. Okay, so we've got all this stuff out of the way, and it's very, very important. So the truth is not subject to negotiation. You know? The truth is not subject to discussion. Yeah, you know? The truth is truth. And I'm not, and it is, sometimes people say, oh, you know, this is not subject to negotiation. I'm not referring to myself and what I'm presenting in a minute, that, you know, that whatever I say is not subject to negotiation. I get it wrong as well. I get a lot of stuff wrong. Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is that everything that's been said here, everything that's been suggested, everything you hear with regards to the subject we're going to come up with, has to be measured against the Word of God. Has to be measured against the Word of God, guided with discernment, a good portion of discernment by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. And that's something we need to pray for in these last days. We need to pray for discernment. Okay, and before I lead you into the subject, I'm going to make one more statement, which has been made by the proprietor of BPN Radio. And his name is Pastor Dale Gentry. And it's a bit like that, you know. You meet people, And I'm not referring this to Pastor Dale, but you meet people and there's a lot of blah, 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 blah. And you forget about 99% of the stuff they ever tell you. Yeah? But there are certain things which stick to you, and sometimes they're negative things, and sometimes they're positive things. Sometimes they offend you, sometimes even unwittingly. And it you remember this forever. Yeah, like, you know, stupid stuff like, I don't know. I once heard the story that somebody used somebody's bathroom and he used the toothbrush of this is a pastor friend of him, and it's been a real big issue for him whenever he saw this person, and he probably doesn't know 100% whether he used his toothbrush, but it seemed to be wet when he entered the bathroom. The guest he had, whenever he saw him again, he just could think about this toothbrush and got really angry about it. I'm not sort of referring to this, but there are things which stick in your mind. And to, just to reassure you, Dale has never ever used my toothbrush as far as I know. So I'm not referring anything like that to that. But he made a statement and it really stuck with me. And he said that, and it was in one of his talks, and I even remember where I was driving when I heard it the first time round. I was near London, somewhere around about the M25. I can almost visualize the actual point. I was just going onto the M11. Yeah? So if you're in England, you know this stuff, heading north. And he said something, he made a statement, and he said that once he was praying about it, and the Holy Spirit showed him that deception runs deep. Yeah, deception runs deep. And that kind of stuck with me. It's really interesting as well, because I went on a long journey where I've come from, you know, everybody who is got the stump evangelical stumped on his head is kosher, and everybody who hasn't is not kosher. And I suddenly realized that it's not quite the case, that the people who are likely to deceive you is not, you know, a member of the Maoist Communist Party, is not somebody from the atheist convention in Denver, is not somebody, you know, who is a Darwinist, but the people who are likely to deceive you are people from within your own ranks. And they're either fake Christians who have been deliberately placed by the enemy. And the Bible is very clear about this. It talks about these people and it calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah. Calls them thieves, the people who haven't come in through the door but climbed over the wall. Paul talks, calls them false brethren. Yeah. So we've got tons of these people in the church, and we are warned from pretty much from Matthew all the way to Revelation. All the books in the New Testament, almost all the books in the New Testament talk about this issue of false brethren, of deceivers, of false teachers, of people who are in the church to make some money out of it, who take advantage, who, you know, get into houses and steal everything they have through, you know, persuasive words, who come up with tales and stories and endless genealogies and so on, so on. So we've got loads of examples in the Bible. And this is a problem what we are dealing with in the church. Now, the subject I'm going to talk about today is the heaven visitors. The heaven visitors. The first time I came across this was in, okay, a couple of things as well as I talk about the heaven visitors and the stories we get from them and what we should, you know, take from it. And I'm not, just to, on the offset, you know, I'm not saying that they're all wrong. I know some are definitely wrong, but some, it sounds okay what they're saying. There's no contradiction to the Word of God. There's no contradiction to the Bible. And there doesn't seem to be an undercurrent either, and there doesn't seem to be any desire to financially gain from it. And it makes them a little bit more credible, and probably what we can take from those stories is better. And some of them, as I'm thinking, they just had like a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a heavy cheese sandwich the night before, and they went to bed. And they had a little bit of a vivid dream, yeah, which they interpreted as being a vision. Some of them, I think, may be downright deceived. Whatever they've experienced is demonic. Yeah. And I'm going to make the argument, you know, over these talks about heaven visitors and hell visitors as well. And I think some of them are just downright deceptive. I mean, there's, if you want to make $1 million, all you need to do is just pretend to be in heaven and, you know, collect all these stories. Before we go any further, I'm just looking at the time. I think there's quite a bit of stuff to cover, quite a bit of ground to cover, so we'll probably do it over two sessions. But I think at a guess I've listened to about maybe 100 hours of witnesses, of testimonies, of people claiming to have been in heaven and in hell. And as I said before, some of it I think is genuine. Some of it I think is just madness, crazy. Some of it I think is just delusional. And some of it is downright deceptive, yeah. And we, why do we do this in the war room? We need to understand this. We need to recognize this. This is especially, you know, the stuff that is wrong, that is not right. Very often there's, very subtly, there's a little message behind there. And this message is kind of taking us away from the course the Bible has given us. The Bible has got very clear instructions about the end times and what is going on in the end times. And we find that suddenly there's this undercurrent which gets us onto a completely different path and drags us away from which I believe is the purpose God has got for us and for our lives. And the only way we can determine, you know, when we've got something is to just go back to the Word of God, go back to the Bible and see whether it is like these people say it is. And the tendency we have, you know, they are nice people, you know, they look very spiritual and they've got all these experiences. And I take these experiences and I put their emotional experiences because it's much more easier to follow than to knuckle down in the Bible and read some text which is fairly cryptic and then come up with an idea what heaven is like. And again, when it's extremely interesting to look at this whole heaven question. But all we can do is we look at a few snippets in the Gospels, a few snippets, you know, what Paul has written about, and then we've got one or two snippets in the book of Revelation, and then maybe a few snippets in the Old Testament, where people had a glimpse to see what is going on in the throne room of God and in heaven. And that's all, and we need to sort of glean it all together, come up with it, and then we've got a little bit of an understanding what is going on up there and where it is. Personally, I mean, I probably go a little bit further in my mind, and I've sort of categorized it a little bit, and I'm going to try to avoid mentioning any names. I mean, in the end, if I, you know, wanted to disprove somebody, I would have to read the stuff they've written, take out the text, compare it with the Bible, and then say, he says that, Bible says that, therefore ignore this guy. And it's very, very difficult. But I've got some names in my mind where I'm dead sure that these guys are as fake as anything. And I've also got a couple of names in my mind of ministers or people or individuals who believe they've been there. And I think it's genuine, that they've genuinely been there and they had a real experience up in heaven. And they've come back down and, you know, part of the mission is to tell us a little bit what's going on up there. And it's very comforting to know this. And for me, it's been very comforting. And again, it's very, very important. That's the ultimate. Always compare to the Bible. Always compare whatever you hear to the Word of God. And if you find any discrepancy between that, discard whatever these people are telling you. Discard it, yeah. So, I mean, I've got, you know, stories on both sides. I've got stories about people who have been rejected and banned from heaven and have ended up in hell. And again, the Bible doesn't really, you know, like some people, one woman, she said that there, if you die with debts, you know, financial debts, you're going to end up in hell. I don't know where she gets this from in the Bible. Yeah. No idea. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you've got debts and you die in your debts, you go to hell. And she was saying there was like a debtor's corner or whatever. I don't know where she's getting it from. So, I mean, one thing is sure, this is probably, a heavy cheese sandwich scenario that she has had a dream, and this dream was very vivid. And some of the information she got is maybe not quite right. But again, she's preaching a message, subtly, which is not really in the Bible. Yeah. Other than that, you know, if you can get out of debt, get out of debt as fast as possible. It makes perfect sense, but if your grandfather has died and he went bankrupt for whatever reason, doesn't necessarily mean that he is in hell, yeah? Just to make the point. Yeah? So don't take these people too serious. Always go to the Bible. You know, the decision of whether you end up in hell or in heaven is your relationship with Jesus Christ, and not whether your bank balance was minus or positive. And then, you know, where does the hell bit start? If it's sort of minus a penny or minus £1 million, where does it start? Okay, let's have a look, and we'll discuss a little bit more about the heaven visitors. I made some notes. I was a good boy. Normally, I talk about this stuff. The first issue is one of special revelation and what to think about it. I mean, Paul, it's a little bit like prophecy, you know, the applied word of God spoken into a situation. That's the way I understand prophecy. So you look at the word of God and you speak it into a situation. Yeah. But the big question is, what are we doing with this extra, scriptural revelation, you know, revelation which is outside the word of God. And the first instance is take it with a pinch of salt. That's very, very important. Word of God, ultimate standard, everything that's in there is a framework. If it doesn't fit into this framework, ignore it. If it fits in, you know, take it. If it's good and positive, you know, keep it and let it be to your edification. Okay, let me just give you an example. Paul, for example, talks about prophecy. And he says that prophecy has got a purpose. You know, you prophesy into somebody's life and you uncover, you know, through the Spirit of God, the secrets of their hearts, and you dig him out and you, you know, maybe have a message for him, you know, through the prophetic word. But then again, Paul says, you know, test everything, you know, discard the bad stuff and the good, you know, keep it. We find also in the scripture later on that that Paul says in one instance, do not despise prophecy, later on in the epistles. And what we seem to find is that people have heard it all. And I sometimes feel the same way when I listen to prophetic words and, yeah, I've heard this, I've heard that before, I've heard that. And it's very easy to just sort of be very nonchalant about it and to sort of discard them and thinking, yeah, I've heard it before. But he says, do not despise prophecy. So this, both of them, you know, don't go crazy about it. You know, that you're just living in this robot-like motion, that every aspect in your life needs to be, you know, undermined or, you know, fortified, strengthened with prophecy. It's a balance thing. This is the way I see it, okay? It's a balancing act. And a prophecy can be extra scriptural revelation or applied word of God in your life. But, again, we need to test it. And the Bible is very clear about this. Test it, you know, wait before God. Check it against scripture, you know, whether it's scriptural or it's not scriptural. So if somebody prophesies, you should steal a car and take this car and drive to India and do the great missionary work. You know, it's not from God, because stealing a car is not right and is not scriptural. Okay, you get the gist which I'm talking about. It's the same with the heaven visions and the heavenly visions, which is extra scriptural, where some of it can be really edifying and it can be important. I mean, one big thing we've got in our generation, we never had this before, is the abolition of hell. Yeah, nobody talks about hell anymore. If you go to church, you know, the hellfire preachers, they are sort of looked down upon like they are some sort of imbeciles. And sort of something from the last, you know, two or three centuries ago. These are the hell and damnation preachers. But the problem is, yeah, Jesus talked more about hell than about heaven. It's 40 plus times in the New Testament he talks about hell, the consequence and the horror of hell, and only very few times about heaven. It's quite interesting. So possibly about 10 times more. I haven't counted it precisely, but possibly about 10 times more, maybe 8 times more, 7 times more, he talks about hell than heaven. And why? Because Jesus loves you. You know, there's the love of God in your life. And one thing God doesn't want you to do is to end up in hell. But hell is real. Yeah. And not talking about it or sort of denying it doesn't make it go away. It's still going to be there. Either it's real or it isn't real. And if Jesus says it's real, then I'm sure it's real. And we need to bear this in mind. And so, very, very important stuff. Okay. Everything has to be in tune with the scripture. Right. Where does all this heaven stuff come from? No, we have had, I mean, these stories have been, when you go through the ages, there have always been stories of monks who had some, you know, apparition, revelation or something. Some were probably from God. Some, they sound like they weren't from God, but they were from some other source. And we have got Paul warning us, you know, even if an angel of light came and preached a different gospel to the one I've preached you, cursed be he. And then he says even the devil can, you know, pretend to be an angel of light. Yeah. And we have to sort of be aware of this whole scenario that deception is running deep. Yeah, and if the devil manages to deceive us, he can make us useless for the kingdom of God. He can render us infertile, yeah, so that we cannot do the things God wants us to do anymore. And that's really his aim. And one way of doing this is deception, just deception. And that's where he's the master in. Okay, now where does this all come from? We have tons of stories in recent years, even though they've been throughout the generations, throughout history, there have always been stories. I mean, going right back to Paul, I mean, he talks about his heaven visit experience, yeah. In or out of body, he doesn't know. Now, today we've got something else, which is, again, in the medical realm, and they are the so-called near-death experiences, where people are sometimes, for quite some time, dead. They cannot see... The all bodily functions are dead, have ceased to exist. And you hear all these stories, yeah. You know, people that leave their body, they feel as good as they've never felt before. All the pain and everything is gone. Suddenly they start floating. They can see everything from the ceiling. Then they look at themselves and they don't realize first that it's themselves. And then they lift up and they go through the ceiling over the roof, and suddenly they take off and they end up in one or two places, either in hell or in heaven. And we've got both stories. And then they come back and they start talking about the experiences they had. Again, you know, whether these experiences are real or not, to them they certainly are real. But it's a bit like the whole elephant thing in the blind men, you know, trying to touch an elephant and then all describing what the elephant looks like. And one says, oh, it looks like a big leaf, you know, touching the ear. The other one says, oh, no, an elephant is just like a rope. And he's been touching the tail. And he says, oh, no, it's like a big, massive hose. You got it all wrong. And the other blind guy was feeling the trunk of the elephant. Then somebody else says, oh, no, an elephant is like a tree, you know, like an oak tree. And he was just feeling the legs. And so it's a little bit like that as well, which we have to bear in mind. So if you get different stories, it does make sense because heaven is a huge place. And people have different experiences when they go to heaven, seemingly. So I wouldn't discard it all in one go. Anyway, sometimes people are called back, you know, 20, 30 minutes into the attempt to resuscitate them. They come back, and some are okay, you know. And there are stories that even people, when they were in the morgue, they came back to life, and they, you know, have been on the other side. They've seen what was going on, and most of it is certifiable, seems to be genuine. A lot of them, they're not interested in making any money out of it. And it's interesting as well, I think the real ones, the genuine ones, once they've experienced heaven... It really changes them. It really changes the whole dimension on life and the whole view on life. And suddenly money doesn't count anything anymore. And the whole interest of, you know, let's write a book and make a million is gone. Yeah. And that sometimes, I think it's an indicator, you know, if people don't go down this route, the book route, they're probably genuine. If they go down the book route and they make tons of money of it, be careful. Yeah, and take it with a pinch of salt what they're saying. Okay, big question. We've got the stories of heaven and hell. We've got the stories of in between, you know, the people are neither here nor there. We've got stories of other stuff as well, you know. One story of a guy seeing Mary and things like that. Is this real? You know, did he see Mary? Did Mary give him a message? I doubt it. Yeah, there was one guy, it was quite interesting, he had an NDE experience. He was dead for quite some time, and I think it's called Brian Melvin. I mention his name because I believe that he's actually kosher, that he's okay. Again, please listen to it and don't take my word for it. You need to make up your own mind. Wait before God, and if you come to peace with it, then that's okay. But if not, then please discard what he's saying. But he was sort of saying that he died and he saw... a bunch of, you know, all his relatives, and he started talking to them, and he thought, oh, this is all great. But then he realized that something wasn't quite right, and suddenly these relatives started morphing into these demonic creatures. And this is the thing as well, that there's a lot of deception going on. So maybe people who are just sort of in this realm between life and death, you know, the soul has left the body, and then suddenly they might have apparitions which is in tune with their faith, but it's all fake. Yeah. Again, all we have really, what it comes down to, is the word of God and nothing else. Yeah. So some guy says he's got the vision of Mary. Mary cannot talk to anybody. She's going to be somewhere in heaven. She is going to be in a situation where she cannot communicate with the people on this side of the veil, to put it this way. Okay, let's move on a little bit. I've listened to a couple of guys as well. There's one guy who's picked up this this old subject, and his name, again, I mention names because I respect this guy tremendously, but I don't fully agree with him. It's Justin Peters. He's sort of an apologist, and he picks up a lot of cultish churches and so on. When I listen to what he says, is he, in my opinion, is a little bit too extreme. It's a little bit, in German, we've got a saying on English as well, to throw the baby with the bathwater. Yeah, so you need to get rid of the bathwater because the baby's being bathed, and you chuck the baby out at the same time, which is not really the purpose, because there's, I think, some valuable lessons to be learned. And it's also, for me personally, I find it's very comforting to know where I'm going, yeah, that there is a place for me, for real, that obviously I should believe in Jesus says, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if were not so, I would have told you. In my father's house there are many mansions. Yeah. That's what he says. Yeah. If it were not so, I would have told you. And but when you sort of hear people talking about it, it's actually quite exciting. And you think, yeah, there might be one for me as well. And also the negative bit, you know, people who are just lukewarm, the Corinthians talks about, you know, they are safe, but just like through the fire, all their works are stubble and hay, and they all burn up. And it sort of puts things back into perspective, and it gives you this extra push to just push on and to work a little bit harder, because, you know, it really is not just for here on earth. Whatever I've got here on earth is going to go. I have to look into eternity, and there is an eternity for me, and the decisions I take here on earth are going to affect my eternity. And if you sort of get this in mind, and sometimes these stories, for me at least, help me to understand this, this is very good. But then on the other side, there are a lot of crazy stories. And I'm going to look at some of them in the next talk as well. We are just running out of time here. We are talking here, we are here in the War Room, warroom.com. We are talking about heaven and hell, you know, all the heaven and hell stories. Are they real? Are they fake? Should we take them seriously? Should we not take them seriously? Can we take something out of it? Or should we just flatly ignore them and reject them and go back to a Puritan attitude of sola scriptura, only the scriptures, which is nothing wrong, but what should we do? Okay, we are discussing this here at the War Room. Very important question as well. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just pray for discernment in all of this stuff, Lord. We know, Lord, that you have prepared a place for us, and heaven will be and is a fantastic place. We pray, Lord, prepare our hearts and help us to focus on our eternal future rather than on our earthly destiny here. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will give us the wisdom, Lord, the discernment, the understanding, and the determination to follow you in all of your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.